Thank you. I feel wonderful. We haven't talked in a long while. How are you?
I am very well, thank you.
We have the alienist, as you call him, with us today to talk with you.
Your friend?
Yes.
Hello, Jane.
How are you?
Just fine, thank you.
Yes, it has been a long while.
Yes. Well, we missed you.
It may be somewhat difficult for me to speak at first. Please forgive me.
There's no hurry. We're not rushed. Is Anne in a comfortable place now?
Yes. Are you concerned?
Well, I would be always concerned of her welfare, as I believe you too are concerned for her welfare.
She is at a previous time being counseled, and she is well situated.
Now?
Yes.
That's good. That's comforting to us to know that. What would you want to share with us? Is there anything you'd like to share with us of Anne and her experiences, perhaps, with a gentleman that she had seen and that vanishes and appears? Could you give us some enlightenment on that?
That was an image that she has been given. It is the image that she was given the last time that we had a conversation. It was meant to reassure her, but as it seemed not to do that, it was taken away. It is the same that she will see today also, and this will be explained to her.
Where do you do the explaining, or do we
no,
do the explaining?
I do not. The one who counsels her will do this.
Was the image she saw a counselor of her?
It is an image of my counselor, one of them. It is an image only. It is not the true appearance, you understand, that she would not understand that.
It is not the true appearance of the counselor?
No.
Is the counselor human?
No, not as I believe at one time I attempted to explain to you their appearance. It is nothing that a person living on earth could understand. So the image is to show in a form that can be understood but the nature of the nature of that being is exposed in the image, like a drawing would tell you what a place was like. All right, you do understand.
If I were to see the true image of the counselor, would I be frightened? Would it frighten me?
Not necessarily, but you would not know what it was you were seeing. You might not understand that this was a being. You might think it an object or simply a light. I am not certain, but it is not usual. Most often, if a counselor or a higher being than a counselor must communicate with someone on earth, they use an image.
The higher beings then would not resemble the human form.
There is no form. The form is tied to the earth.
Jane, someone stopped and picked one of these images up behind, and or at least she looked in the mirror and thought this image as a hitchhiker was picked up by someone. Did that really happen?
I don't know what you mean, hitch.
Anne was driving in her automobile and saw this image, and she thought that it was in her imagination, and so she went on. And yet, the automobile that was behind her, the vehicle that was behind her, stopped and picked up that image, picked up that person.
I do not believe that would have happened. That image was for her. Is she certain?
No, she's not. But she saw the image. In other words, it would be like you were riding your horse and saw the image, and yet went by the image, and yet someone came with another horse behind you and stopped and talked with that same image, and it made her think that it was more real than just an image.
Yeah.
Might have been a misunderstanding or something.
Possibly, because that image was for her.
Yes.
And not for another.
Yes.
Is that image only in her mind, or is that image an actual materialization in a form that she may see?
Could another see it? Only if they had been given the same image.
Then the image, is it placed only in the mind, or is it a real substance?
It is only for her.
For her.
It is not. You could not touch. Is that what you mean?
By material meaning touching, to be able to feel it and touch it.
No. But it will appear as if it could be
touched.
Yes, to her or to anyone. That is the image that she was given another time. time or another person might be given a different image which would not appear substantial, but this was to be given to her as something that she would be accustomed to.
And therefore these images appear even in logical thinking people. They may be placed there in people who are not disturbed, is what you're saying to me.
For a purpose.
Yes.
What is the purpose? What is the purpose for Jane to, or the council, to cause the image to appear to Anne?
It was to reassure her and to let her know that, you see, she was counseled the last time we had a conversation. She was counseled, and it was to serve as a reminder of that counseling and a reassurance. And when its function was no longer needed, it was discontinued.
Was it to stimulate her continuance with this, doing this? She had spaced about 5 months. I don't know whether you had changed your mind in doing it, or whether she had changed her mind in doing it, in talking with us.
It was her decision to stop before us, if that is what you mean.
Yes, I didn't know. I didn't know whether you were asking for time to elapse or whether she was.
No.
I'm going to ask one other question and let Mr. Prokop go on. When you speak through her, there is a deep sigh, a deep breath, and frequently in the ancients and other times, the breath of life is spoken of. Is the actual breath that she breathes or you breathe, is that the breath of your life coming through her? Would you, or are you even aware of the deep breath at the time of this change takes place?
I understand that you are not aware of the difficulties that may occur in doing this. It is, no matter how well I know her, it is a difficult thing to, just like being in a strange house. Do you understand?
For yourself. But
for myself.
But many people, when they go through a different voice speaking through a different house, a deep breath, we became aware of your being here today with a deep breath, and other people that voices have talked through says at the time that this voice changes, there is the breath, and whether that breath has to do with...
I do not know of those others of whom you speak or what they say. I do what I must in order to accomplish this, and her body must function while she is gone. You see, it is as for a time, we exchange places, she and I.
Jean, is it easier for you to talk now?
Somewhat. It is always somewhat difficult at first.
Can we here make it easier for you?
No. I do not believe so. It is simply that I am not accustomed and must accustom myself to that.
Jane, I consider you as a friend. I enjoy talking to you. And yet it is quite a mystery as to the purpose for all of this happening. Is there a reason or a purpose that's beyond what we can comprehend at this point in time? And would you want to share some of your thinking on that? And to be, as a friend, would be honest, as I would be honest with you.
You have asked that question of me many times since the beginning.
It still is a mystery.
I do not believe I can help that.
We will continue to ask some, because sometimes we feel your counselors might, they have not restricted apparently anything that you can say, and at the same time we don't know, but it possibly they tell you more, just as we learn more each time.
That is true. I have learned very much since the beginning. Please continue.
So, when we ask, it is not to re-ask you, because we do remember your answers and we do go over this, but we just thought maybe they had permitted you to know more, and thereby through you would let us know more.
Are you certain that you did not call me this time?
Well, yes, I would say that we are continuing in providing the opportunity for the continued communication, whether a continued communication between souls or continued communication between minds. We are providing the opportunity for continuous communication in a realm that we don't fully understand. And so calling would be one way of placing it. On the other hand, providing the opportunity for a continuous relationship is the way I would like to address it.
It is the same, is it not?
Providing the opportunity for something to spontaneously occur is subtly and probably ethically different. We cannot call patients into our office as physicians, but might provide the opportunity for them to come in and continue in a relationship that was previously established. So, without disagreement or discord over it, yes, we did call, and no, we
did. Do you hear the sound of your voice?
Do I know the sound of my own voice? It's an interesting question.
Mm-hmm. If we heard a recording of it, we probably would know the sound.
She means something more profound than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she means something more profound.
Do you mean an inner voice, Jane? An inner voice that would be open?
A voice that calls, yes.
From within, and it's not something you would hear with your ears?
He understands what I mean.
Yes, I do understand what you mean, and but I'm veiled over that part. I am veiled over that part. Yes, I call upon the family of man, if you put it that way.
What is that that entered?
Mr. Ford came in. You've met Mr. Ford before.
Yes.
And why don't you say hello, please? You know,
I'm talking to Jane, I assume.
Yes.
Yes, Jane, I was here, I believe, one session sometimes ago and did talk with you. It was the time you opened your eyes the first time and looked here. You remember?
Yes, you were the one that showed me the timepiece.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I was late, but I have been out of town and just got here.
And it is all right.
Jean.
I had no desire to open the eyes and see, thought I would inquire.
What questions would you want to ask of us at this time? Or do you have any questions you'd like to ask of us?
Questions, not truly questions.
Let me explain the reason that I called then, because I know you know what I'm talking about this other aspect of self. Anne, and I'm responding to the continued relationship with Anne, has become more anxious and feeling it's possible that she is putting on a show. In some way, she wishes she were putting on a show, and that would put it into her control. We've become aware that everything you have told us about your life, which we believe Anne herself could not have known, including the days of the week at that time, including the cemetery of your husband, including all of the things you've told us. And so there still is some areas in documentation that may be valuable for us to know. Your husband had mentioned that he was born in Khorus, near Perth, and do you know any more about the pronunciation of that word or anything he said about his home?
He spoke of that very little. Indeed, I believe he was anxious to leave there, and he did say to me that he left under a cloud. Although that was never truly explained to me.
Was it a small city with a church or any kind
he
of castle?
He described it as a village.
A village. A castle, perhaps, or a...
Some... Oh, no. There was something... something near the village. I do not believe he said castle. Some manor house, or I do not recall his word. I do not know.
Was his name Tweed, or was it changed from Tweedy or some other family name as it came to the United States? Did he change it to adjust in this country?
His name was always Tweed. I believe that the spelling was changed. You must understand that Andrew was reticent about his life in Scotland, which was not a happy one.
He didn't speak of his mother or father.
His mother's name, I do not know about his father. He never spoke of his father. His mother's name was Nora. Nora is all I know.
Nora.
And there were several children. He was, I believe, second or third son. That is all I know.
Does the relationship of marriage of two close souls, you are not together now, is there a desire for you to be together at times, or can you?
We are together at times.
Uh-huh.
Yes, that does occur when one of us desires that.
I see. And there's not the missing of your a conjoined companionship as there was on Earth, the conjoined.
No, but our meaning that we must do, it is not the same. And if we stay together, we may not advance, progress.
Jane, since you are talking to us here, is it possible for Andrew to talk to us through Anne also?
I do not believe he would wish to do that. I do not know if that would be permitted. I will inquire on both.
It might be interesting to talk to him, if it is permitted.
Well, even if it were permitted, I doubt if he would wish to do that. That would, in my opinion, that would not be typical of Andrew.
Is it possible for a male to speak through Anne as well as it would for you as a woman?
Of course.
That wouldn't make any difference then?
No.
What are the safeguards that we know that we were talking with someone who said they were who they were? Is there a way of knowing?
Safeguards? I do not understand.
How would we know that the one talking to us truly was Andrew Tweed rather than another illusion or image?
Well, it would not be an image if you do not see the image. If you were given an image, you would see it.
Yes, let's say a voice then. How would we know through voice alone that that person, is there not at times falsehoods told through?
There can be, yes. That is true. There are those who may do this, who will tell you, well, falsehoods is perhaps one thing, their own misconceptions would be another.
We were asked to help bring the truth and safeguards and prevent misuse of this kind of method. Can you give me the difficulties that you have in doing this and the way that we may learn to prevent the misuse of such methods as this? Is there ways that...
By misuse, what is that you mean exactly?
At one time, voices spoke through saying that they were asking our help to bring the truth and the help that is going to be needed. As people, we're going to do what we are doing, but they were not going to use it properly or do it properly. And we would like to know the ethical and to respect all those involved who do this and how to do it properly and with wholesomeness. I'm not
explaining. Yes, I believe I understand, yes. The person must always have their choice. If that choice is not granted, then they should be wary of that conversation and not continue. That is very important. As to whether the choice is a wise one, that is, it should be thought upon and prayer. That is the only way.
And then to prevent the disruption during the communication, during the communion?
Well, that is the responsibility of a person such as I.
But if one is not ethical or responsible, such as you, what may we do, or what may we do to prevent such action?
You may do nothing. Once it is entered upon, she makes her choice before. She may not make that choice now, at this moment. If I were to permit disruptions, as you mentioned, there is nothing that you may do. It must be done by us.
But are there not souls where you are that would produce disruptions that we must,
yes,
on this side, know how to manage? Or
well, if that would occur, then the helper is not strong enough, and I would not continue the
right
conversation unless they could have. You see, I may call upon my counselors at any time, and they are with us now to aid me in my responsibility. It is also theirs, but only part of theirs, as they must do other things. But they are available to help, and if there is not enough strength there, then it should not be attempted. There is, she must depend on me to leave of my own accord, you understand?
Yes. Is this what Christ did upon earth when he drove out aspects after they had entered a person? If you were mischievous and Christ had the word to say for you to leave, and Is that what is meant?
Well, possibly. I do not know what he did. It is possible that it was that. A person may also be mad, and it may be difficult to distinguish. If there were an evil, within that person, or if the person were mad, that would be difficult to distinguish.
Yes, that's my job. I am a physician, an alienist, a psychiatrist, and it will be part of that. It is my attempt to learn and then maybe to report on how to discern these differences. And the only one way one can learn is through experiences such as this. And there may be in the future an ability to tie the biblical understanding of spirits separated from mental, or as you put it, madness. And it is difficult, but an area of investigation that needs to be understood. And I certainly appreciate your help and the insights you may give us.
There is something that I wish to say. I understand your desire to search for truth and greater knowledge and greater understanding. But it is possible to be overzealous in your search. And I would guard against that.
Yes, but it was your very voice that told me that I had a mote in my eye. And if you can help me.
Recall.
Oh, absolutely. And I've been reading about motes in eyes. And you may have to help me understand the difference between removing the impediment to vision as different from a search of knowledge.
The search of knowledge is all very well, and it is part of a human being. It is to be that way. If we did not have this desire to seek out, we would also not seek out our Creator. It is put within us for a purpose. However, zeal can be very closely akin to ambition and pride, and this must be guarded against.
Yes.
Please do not take offense at what I say.
No, I take your words as welcome. But I also would like to bridge the gap between madness and spirit of negative. If that's still in the realm of faith, then we must leave it at faith. Jane, I also ask you at this point, are you speaking for yourself in the years that you lived, science was not moving as rapidly possibly? Is this advice and wisdom from your counselors to me, or from those above, or is this your feelings?
It has been discussed with me. It is meant as a thought only, something to think upon.
Yes. Yes. That whatever is done should be in the advancement of knowledge and not in self-esteem. And I believe that what we're doing here on the whole is on that basis, or I believe it would not have occurred. And I also believe...
You know better what is in your own hearts.
Yes.
Than anyone except your father.
But you must also remember, words came to us to ask us. I said, why did you come to us? He said, we would have you help bring the truth and the help that is going to be needed. For truly you stand at the threshold and you must step across. So in all honesty, as you and your counselors know too, it was not just us calling. It is something that was possible and permissible.
It is, of course.
Will you help?
Possible, and it is permitted. It is true.
Can you help me with the mote in my eye?
I think if you will search inside yourself, that perhaps you can find it and throw it away. Do not look for a large impediment, only a small one.
All my training and background has been through microscopes and telescopes with things I could see and touch. And the realm of understanding that which is formless, even though I know I daily breathe the air that I cannot see, that I hear the breath that is breathed as you come on, as I'm told of electrons and atoms that I have never nor will ever see at their own individual level, it's still a step for me to leave that which is material. I see the transition in myself. And if that's the moat, the bridge, part of that is not me, but the background and training in which I have been housed to be a good clinician. And in the jump between there and the spiritual realm.
I understand your difficulty.
Is that the area of the moat, I guess, is what I am at? That's the moat that I see.
Possibly. I believe that you will find it. You will continue your search. I know that it is difficult for you to understand my state of existence is different from yours. And that is the way it is to be. And I do know, because I have existed as you, how little is known about my existence now, my state of existence now. And what a mystery it is to you. But I recall that we used to speak of the laws of nature and God's laws, we would call them. And they appeared as laws. However, they are not laws but limitations. And when those laws appear to be broken, it is not that they are broken, it is simply that a different state of existence is occurring where the limitations are different.
Jane. I would like to ask a question. Is it good for us to search into this mystery, to inquire of you, inquire of the council, of something that we don't know? Or is this a proper time that we should search for this mystery?
Is it good? Is it a proper time? I do not believe we ever know the answers to those questions for certain until some time after the action has been completed. Very often we never know if it is good. That question must be answered by another question. What is good?
Well, what is good then would be the things that were brought to the world by Christ and by God to inquire into an area that of existence that is beyond what we understand. And is this good from that point of view? Are we doing something contrary to what would be acceptable to God and to Christ? Or are we doing something that would be acceptable to God and to Christ by asking, communicating with you, asking these questions of you?
We spoke once, you and I, and I believe you understand that we are all of the same. Do you recall?
Yes.
We are all of us the same, only individual parts. And what is good is what would encourage those individual parts to recognize their position as part of the whole. And this is what Christ did when he was on earth. If you will examine his teachings, this is what he did, and that is good. What is evil is to encourage the separation. Am I explaining myself?
Yes, the separation of what? From what?
Each of us from the other. All of us from our Father. We are all one.
There are some beliefs in the earth existing today that this should not be done.
Which?
To talk to you as a spirit or as a person who has passed on into another realm. From that point of view, do you believe that this would be correct in the eyes of God?
I believe it is correct in the eyes of God and in my counselor's view and in my own view, or I would not be doing this.
Please understand my caution of stepping beyond what would be appropriate for me as a human being, placing my thoughts and mind into an area that would not perhaps be acceptable to God. After all, I don't believe I know the mysteries of God, but just...
No, you do not. We do not. God is... He is very wise. He hides from his creations and yet implants within them this desire to seek knowledge and truth, and then hide so that we will, if he were in plain sight always, then there would not be that opportunity to seek. And human beings
But the caution,
take that opportunity.
The caution of zeal, your caution of us being too zealous. Can you rephrase that then? Because I think this is maybe wholesomely alarmed us, that wholesomely cautioned us. But would you repeat the caution about us being zealous? You're not saying don't do this. You're saying...
I'm saying look inside yourself as you do it and guard against these things that may occur and have occurred in the past with those who have attempted this and other kinds of information seekers.
Yes, because my original question that started this whole discussion is how may we safeguard? And
it is difficult for you to do
from this side.
Yes, the safeguard that may be applied here is your word discernment.
It, number one.
And it may not be allowed if it is discerned that there is an evil or a mischief maker
yes.
to be heard from.
We talk about evil and good. I know good exists. Does evil exist as an existence? As in
evil is as I described it a moment ago. There are those who would encourage each to be separate from all of the others.
Where would they get this idea from? Is there a source by which the human being would get this idea to separate, to disrupt, to do something contrary to God? Is there a force that would instill this in the human mind?
There are those who have decided that this was their choice. They have decided to make this their function. And they will never be a part of the whole because they choose not to be, and they would be pleased to have others join them.
But since they make a choice, I believe something must exist in order for a choice to be made. I believe God exists and I know God, and therefore I choose God. Is there another existence in an intrinsic or an inner part as an existence that they
can... I do not understand your word.
Intrinsic means something that would be naturally within the existence of life itself. Is evil an entity? Is it an existence that one can choose, as God is the creator of all things?
Did not make myself plain. Yes, you may choose. Anyone may choose. You may choose to maintain yourself as separate. That is evil. That is what evil is. You may forever be separate if that is what you choose. You may encourage others to separate themselves also. And there are those who have done that and are still maintaining their separation by choice.
Has there been an exchange of knowledge from the past, from history to the present? Is this a legitimate way to understand how man walked in the past? You've told us things about the 1900s. insofar as re-understanding history? Is this a way that man can gain additional knowledge about what happened in the past?
You are speaking of other conversations. I do not know of other conversations.
Yes. Well, we have had other conversations here.
I do know that other conversations have, that has been done. I do not know what it is that has been spoken. It has been done many times.
To gain knowledge of the past and of...
For many purposes, for many reasons, both good and evil, and perhaps neither one.
It is just a process that is, that occurs if it is permission of God and permission of the people.
It may be done not with any individual. There are some who would never relinquish, who would never be in a position to do that. Not because they would not wish to, but because they had not the ability.
And so some do not have the ability even to do it, and some do not wish to relinquish.
Could I believe that others could possibly learn that, but it is not generally taught. I do not know that for certain, however.
Yes.
Jane, on a little lighter subject, mm-hmm. I'm sure you had a wedding. Was your wedding a wonderful wedding when you married Andrew Tweed? Was it a nice wedding, a big wedding, or a small wedding? Would you want to share some of those thoughts, where it was? And how that happened.
When I went with Andrew, we went to Chicago at first and had intended to be married there. But my papa was understandably angry and sought us out, thinking I might go to Chicago because I had friends there, as did Andrew. We decided not to marry in Chicago because Papa would have been able to find out. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is difficult for me to tell you this. We never did have a ceremony. We considered ourselves married. We were married in the sight of God, we are certain, and our bond to each other was as strong as it could ever have been. We signed an undertaking, Andrew and I, which I kept with my things. And after he died, I enclosed a tape of his hair inside and I suppose that was with my belongings when I died. But it was not in the eyes of the law. After a time, when we left Chicago, we had been living as husband and wife for a good long while, and after a time it would have been embarrassing to say, please marry us. Everyone thought we were. And we decided that we would do that if we were to have children, which of course we never did.
I want you to know, Anne, that we are Jane, that we are understanding of this, because I'm sure there's a lot of this going on, and I always felt that marriage is in the eyes of God, and not because some man would state that you are married.
That is the way we felt, although our intentions were... I never doubted Andrew's intentions. And at any time, if I had said, let us do this properly, he would have, I know. But I never said that to him.
Are your belongings still in existence today? Do you know?
I do not know. Just doubtful. I do know that my things were collected by my friend, Mrs. French. But I do not know what happened to them after that, and it is not important.
I'm glad you share that with us, because I know my daughter recently was married and we had a very large wedding, and I thought perhaps you had a large wedding and you'd want to share that with us.
Well, I did not dare, because most of my friends had been contacted by Papa.
Marcipal. How would you spell Marcipal?
Marcipal. The spelling? It is spelled with a capital M-A-R-C-I-P-A-L.
Yes.
That is the way Papa always spelled it. I do not recall if I told you the story when he was a foundling, Papa. And when he was left on the step of a minister and his wife at their home with a note that he carried with him all of his life, written by, we assumed, his parents or parent, and it was poorly written. The name was hard to distinguish, so this original, we do not know for certain if that is the correct spelling or exactly the correct name. It looked like that. It said, this be Otto Marcipal, 2 year old.
2 years old when he was
And I suppose that a young person, my grandparent, thought they were giving him a good home, but he detested that place and ran away when he was 13 or 14 years old.
Did he ever mention you, the name of the minister or the church that he had?
I do not believe it was, no, I do not know the name of the minister. I don't. He called him a minister, but I don't believe it was a church. It was, well, mission comes to mind, the word mission. I'm not certain what this was.
What about this?
This was in New York City.
What about your mother's ancestry, your mother's maiden name? Anna wasn't your mother's
name? No. My mother was Emma.
Emma. And
Emma Forrester.
Emma Forrester. And her family were from where?
Well, I do not know where they came from originally. Canada. Some location in Canada. My grandmother died when I was very small. I do not really remember her. They lived in a small community that was far north of Moon, Lake Michigan. Somewhere please forgive me for one moment.
Is there some interference?
It is, well.
Do you have much interference between you and the council that would disrupt this communication?
I do not understand what you mean by interference.
Someone that would want to prevent this from continuing.
Not really to prevent. It is more likely that there are those who would prefer to speak themselves.
There was a moment ago you mentioned that it was your job of people in your position to protect against that kind of interference, or against someone talking when they had negative things to say. Is there a time in which you or others like you would allow that to occur on purpose, even though it was supposed to be a very negative person doing it?
You understand, this is my first experience. I do not know if that has ever happened. I can ask my counselors that question from my own point of view.
Okay.
I do not believe that should be allowed. I feel the responsibility greatly. It could be agreed upon and allowed, but I think that if it were, there would be some risk to the person. If you see, if we were to allow another to speak, it may be difficult to get them to leave if they choose not to. That is the risk.
Once they are able to speak, they have some kind of a inside hold, so to speak, that they hold on harder and they won't leave, as opposed to if they never start talking?
Yes, I believe That is one way to put it. Yes. Then they choose to leave. It would be difficult from my position to use force. Other forces may be brought to bear that are beyond my own, you understand. And whether those would be used or not, I could not say.
Could you call those other forces?
I could call, and I could ask my counselors. My counselors could call in these, whether they would be used or not, I do not know.
You said that we would not be able to prevent the interference occurring. Would we be able
to? Meaning you
in this form?
Yes.
Would there be anything that I could do here on this end of it after they did start talking to remove them?
The only thing that could be done then would be to ask God for aid if that were His desire to remove them.
Okay, that's what I was
hoping. Jane, how do you sense when someone is trying to speak? Do you see them as we?
My counselors tell me when I am here, when I am here, I am also partly in the other state. I know they may speak to me and I may speak to you also. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do.
All right. That is how I know.
But you don't see the other ones coming, trying to take away from you. It's not a visual thing. You sense some.
No. Sense is not a correct word. It is known.
It is known. We had at one time a group like yourself who had lived many centuries before, who said man had vast powers, such as the ability to communicate through the mind without speaking, such as the ability to do many of the things Christ did as a man, in other words, the ascension into heaven. And this group of ancients said that many of the things in which Christ did were that of capacities that man has, but that we are veiled and do not know how to use at this time. Do the capacities that you have of knowing, is that a capacity of spirit at your level, or a capacity that man has that we have not yet learned how to use or have lost?
Well, I, first of all, I do not know if you understand this. When you speak of your state of existence as a physical one, your limitations are very great, and you are fully aware of them. At times, a person in that state of existence may pass into another without death, and at that time, their powers and abilities may increase.
If one so chooses to use that additional capacity, one may without leaving the body permanently.
I believe that is what you want to know. This may have, this is an ability, and some individuals have always had that ability, I believe, from the beginning. It is not a usual occurrence, however. When I was on Earth, none of my friends were so endowed, I do believe.
Jean, what would you have thought of if you met someone when you were in the physical form who would be speaking through another individual as you're doing now? What would you have thought of that event at that time?
I am not certain. I suppose, depending on what was said and behavior in general, I probably would have thought them mad or possessed by a spirit.
Then what should we think now?
Well,
have we evolved further to understand this more?
I do not know.
Share what we would like. I know we've asked you many questions. Perhaps you'd like to share something with us from your own heart, your own soul, your own mind, with the permission of the council, that perhaps we have not asked you yet and we have not inquired about. As you know, I'm, as an inquisitor, you mentioned one time about a long nose but no mustache, but I'm still curious, and perhaps you'd like to share something.
I believe that it is nearly time for me to leave. And what I would like to share at this moment is a prayer, if that would please you.
It would please us. I believe it would please me. I think it would please all of us
very much.
Very much. Since we do believe in prayer. We believe in God and Christ.
I will pray to our Father to lend us your strength that we may seek to find you. Lend us your wisdom, that we may know when we have found what we seek.
This is a clean tape here.
Dan is here again in this room now. And just gradually open your eyes and know that you're whole and complete in every way. And we always have that trust in God. that things will be according to his will, according to his wisdom. Let yourself come together to be whole, complete in every way. You're back here in California, 1981. Feeling wonderful, you feel warmer, stronger and better in every way. Complete and intact in every way.
Can't get my eyes open.
Take your time. It'll be a little while. There's no hurry. Just feel the strength within you growing stronger. Your eyes will open when it's ready to do so. That's all right. Have that faith in Christ and God.
No.
Hi. Did you not know it came in?
Oh, God. We've been here 6 years. It's I really... Damn. My arthritis gets me down if I don't move around.
So how did you feel? Could you want to share with
us? Well, wait, just wait a minute. I don't know if I'm with you yet or not.
Well, take your time. It does take a little while to.
When did you make it? Did you go in?
About 3/4 of an hour. Just about 3/4 of an hour.
More than that.
Oh, she didn't talk very long then, huh?
Oh, an hour and a half.
I've been here about an hour.
It was about an hour? Okay.
Oh.
So share with us a little bit as to what you felt and how did it happen? Was it very similar?
All right, well, you can turn the light on.
Oh, I suppose.
Still light outside.
Oh, well, I did an interesting thing. Remember, I told you one other time I went flying.
Mm-hmm.
I went flying again. Only it looked really kind of different. I don't know if I can explain the difference. Well, for instance, the flowers look like, I saw some flowers, I mean, I saw ordinary things, houses and trees and things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the flowers looked like crystal, sort of. I don't know.
Did they have color?
Yeah, but they look sort of like glass. Something like that.
Kind of transparent.
Well, yeah. But they looked, they didn't look flat like a piece of glass. You know, full dimension.
Did you see anything in your mind at all that could be...
Did I see anything in my mind?
Yeah, that you can remember something, I mean, unusual. Whatever.
I mean, assuming the whole thing was...
No. I mean, it's like having a dream and then you don't remember the dream.
Well,
you only remember bits and pieces of it. Is there anything that you can recall?
I had a talk with that same fellow. Too.
Yeah. Do you remember the explanation they gave to you as to what it was? Can you recall anything at all of the...
I asked him. He said, "Are you the one I've been seeing?" And he said, "Yes, that's my image." And I said, "Well, how come?" And he said, something about he wanted to remind me of the last time we spoke. And I said, well, that's great, because I don't remember. He said, you will remember. Well, I don't remember. I don't know whether he meant I'd remember then, and I don't remember what else we talked about.
You need to hear the beginning of the tape. Very, very interesting.
Today's?
Yeah.
Well, did Laura get all of her questions? She wanted me to call her and tell her she wants the answers to those questions.
Well, tape, yeah. Well, you don't remember about Jane Tweed at all on her marriage or anything? You can't recall anything at all.
You mean today?
Yeah. You can't recall anything.
Oh. Well, what? No.
All right.
Did you get the answers? Did you remember?
Answers, yes.
Did you remember to ask the question?
I had a list with me.
Okay.
What I'm curious to know, Anne, is to how much of your memory of the experience from the time you sat in the chair and began to relax, how much of it can you recall?
I really had a hard time doing. I had a hard time relaxing this time. We had to talk and talk and talk and talk. I remember you talking about walking through the fields or woods or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that was some, wasn't very long after that.
After that, what happened then? Can you recall that?
Well, then after a little while, then I began to hear the noise again. I don't remember anything.
The similar noise that you've always heard before?
Yeah.
Can you describe the noise? Can it?
Yeah, I already told you. I don't know.
So just want to compare if there's any difference in this time than another.
No, I don't think so. It's a low roar, rushing.
Air rushing, water rushing.
Well, it sounds like the seashells. You know that funny noise is sort of. When you listen, except louder, and it gets louder and louder until it just feels like I'm just filled up with the noise. That doesn't make any sense, but.
And then you keep hearing it?
No.
It closes out then?
I hear it and I begin to feel like I'm moving. I have to take your word for it that I don't.
Feel like you're moving.
Feel like I'm all of me moving. That's what it feels like. I mean, all of me.
Where? In relationship to the sound.
The sound is in me by that time. It's.
And then when you move, do you leave it? Or does it stay with you through your dreams?
No, it stays with me while I'm. No, that leaves. By the time I move and I go. Through this dark place that seems confined.
Is the dark place the sound?
No, because the sound is there before I start to move. That's the first thing.
And when you start to move, does the sound get less, immediately start getting less? In other words, is the sound here and you go away from it?
I don't know. I'm going toward this light. Now, you can't imagine how fast I'm talking about. Not. Moving. It's fast. Really, I have any idea how long all of this takes at all. I mean, it could be seconds, it could be minutes. I don't have any idea. It could be 20 minutes, I don't know. But it seems fast, that part of it, and I don't know, sometime between before I get, when I get to the light, I'm sort of all. Alright, let me say, if I were walking toward a really bright light, big light, if you're walking, you know those great big searchlight things that they have on the grand opening? Alright, if that's shining right at you, you can't hardly, it's so bright that you can't really hardly look at it, that kind of thing, and you feel like it's just, I mean, it's all over you, it's in you, and absorbing you, sort of. That's what I mean. Sort of absorbing. Okay, that's. And then when I get there, then it's a whole different thing because then I'm in a